The US tax code is about 7,000 pages long. And you wanna know how much of that actually tells you what you owe? About 2%. The other 98% though is incentives. It's the government saying, if you invest in the things that we need built, we're gonna give you some tax dollars back. Things like housing, energy, infrastructure, technology. They need it all funded, right? They can't do it on their own. So they wrote 7,000 pages of instruction that says, do this and we'll pay you for it. And almost nobody reads this. They just look at the tax bill. But in this video, I'm going to show you four specific ways that I've used that the government will literally pay you to invest in 2026. Now, these aren't some theories. I've personally used every single one of these, and I'm gonna give you the actual dollar amounts that I got back so you can do the exact same thing. You ready? Let's go. All right, now before we jump into this full video, let me just kind of explain to you why this happens. Because most people think right off the bat, like, oh, this is loopholes. This is what rich people do to get out of paying taxes, or, you know, this is gonna be gray or black, illegal, whatever. Okay, here's why. The government, like a business and like other countries, they have their initiatives. They have things they want. So for example, the government prioritizes GDP, gross domestic product, right? The better the economy does, the more jobs it creates, the more things it produces, the better the country does, the more tax receipts the government gets. So the government needs people to produce gross domestic product. They need people to create companies, create technology, build products. They need energy produced. They need oil, gas. That's a big initiative for the Trump administration. They need infrastructure, all that funded. They need technology, right? Right now there's the AI race, all of those things. The government can't do those things. The saying I like to say about the government is the government cannot give something it has not taken. The government doesn't create. You and I do. So what the government does is says, well, we need this done. We need housing. We need business. We need technology. We need oil and gas from those things, but we can't do them. So what we want is our citizens to do those things. And if they do those things, if they invest into those things, then we'll pay them, or at least we won't charge them for that, right? So these are incentives. They're incentives that are baked into the code, and they're basically telling you what to invest in. And those things are the things they need. So this isn't a loophole. It's a published policy. Okay, now before we jump into exactly how you can do this and how much money they'll pay you back to start investing, you have to understand that there's two different tracks here, right? So most of the world wants to make you be a consumer. The consumer path is the one that everybody is sort of on this predetermined track, right? Where you go to school, get good grades, get good jobs, you earn, and then the government takes their tax off of the top of that. So you earn, you get taxed, and you live on what's left. Now you save a little bit, hopefully, right? You hope and pray that it's gonna be enough, right? That's the default, okay? But the problem is the tax code wasn't written for that path. You see, the tax code punishes consumers. The tax code was written for owners. The tax code was written specifically for investors. Why? Because the government needs people to invest in these things. So the tax code is written for investors. So if you're an investor or an owner, the tax code works for you. The tax code rewards this path, right? Again, the consumer gets punished. That's why most people don't understand this. So everything I'm gonna show you right now, after this, is gonna be for the investor owner path, okay? Let me show you the mechanic that makes all four of these plays I'm about to show you work. Okay, now, in order to get paid back by the government for investing, it's not what most people think, the consumers think. It's not about tax write-offs, okay? It's about depreciation and tax credits. Most people don't understand what those are. Tax depreciation and tax credits, right? They're not about write-offs. You see, the thing with write-offs is that if my business spends money, if my business has expenses, then of course I deduct those expenses from my income so I don't pay tax on that income. That's obvious, right? But the problem is I still have to spend the money. Right? I had to spend a dollar, and then sure, I don't have to pay tax on the dollar I spent. That's fine. It's like a coupon, right? But the government doesn't pay me for that. A lot of times, you know, we'll go out with friends and they're like, you know, oh yeah, just put on the business. You can deduct it. Yeah, but I still had to spend the money. What I want, what we're talking about here is getting paid to invest. What we want is maybe I spend a dollar, but I get back $3. Maybe I get back $5. I want $10. I want money back without even having to spend my money. That's what I want. So how do we do that? It's not about write-offs. It's about tax depreciation and it's about tax credits. It's a completely different game, but that's how the tax code is working for investors and owners. All right, so let's break down how tax depreciation works. So basically it works like this. If I invest into an asset, that the government wants, right? So they want me to build technology. They want me to build oil infrastructure. They want me to build homes. If I invest into those things, then the government will allow me to depreciate those assets. They know that there's a lifetime of those assets and that over a period of time, they're gonna have to be maintained, fixed, repaired, or replaced. And so they'll allow me to depreciate those and I can remove that from my taxable income, right? So things like capital equipment for my business, real estate, homes, rentals, things, energy infrastructure. And when I invest in those things, then the IRS lets me depreciate that. Now, specifically in the United States, we have something also called bonus depreciation, which basically means we can take all the depreciation of the asset for the lifetime, and we can take it all in year one. This is a little bit more advanced strategy. I'm going to talk about using accelerated depreciation and one more tool that unlocks this. I'll get back to that in a second. Now, for my international viewers, you also have this available to you. Now, maybe you don't have the bonus depreciation, but you also get incentivized. As a matter of fact, this last year, last fall, I went and did a keynote at the Bitcoin Asia conference in Hong Kong. My first time over there was amazing. My wife and I, we ended up going to Beijing for a little vacation. I wanted to see the Great Wall. And it's the first time I was in China. And I think about China as communist China, overbearing, steal your money, tell you what to do kind of a thing. And so, you know, I love talking to people there, getting the feel for it. And I was surprised to find out that you can just start a business there and you can just grow that business. And yes, you owe taxes. And so I wanted to find out about the tax code. And I started asking them, you know, how much they pay in taxes personally, business-wise. And then I had to do some research on it. And sure enough, even China needs their people to invest into technology. And even in communist China, if you invest into technology, they give you tax depreciation, tax breaks, and things like that. So it's not always one for one, but it's very similar for my international audience. What happens is, again, I can invest in these things. I can take the depreciation. And a lot of times I can take 100% of that in year one. Now, sometimes I get more back than when I invested because not only do I get depreciation, I get tax credits on top of it. Now, where this really starts to become magic, if you put the strategy together, is we add in one more layer and we call that OPM. You know what OPM is? We call that other people's money. You see, again, tax write-offs, I spent the dollar, and sure, I don't pay tax on it, but I don't have it. I can buy an asset and get tax depreciation, but I still have to spend the money. What I want is to get paid without having to spend the money. And I do that by using other people's money, right? I don't have to use my own money for this. So there's multiple ways. I'm gonna go through some real examples for you, but typically I can finance the asset. There's financing available. I can get a loan, a line of credit. I could borrow against some other assets I already own. The key here is that I still get full depreciation on the total purchase price, whether I spent the money or not. Let me break this down. So if I bought an asset, let's say it's $150,000 in assets, but I didn't spend it. I borrowed the $150,000, but I still get the whole $150,000 to write off anyway, even though I didn't spend the money, I borrowed the money. Now the tax refund, it comes back. In many cases, I could get a refund. Maybe I can go back and apply it to previous years. I could carry it forward into other years. There's a bunch of ways and it depends on what the actual depreciation play that we have. But the way that I like to do this the most is I like to borrow against other assets. I always want to borrow to invest, right? That way I can get all the money back. I get the full tax break. And a lot of times the money that I get back pays for the asset itself. It could pay all the loan payments that are due on that loan, and it can pay for itself just on its own. Okay, so now exactly how do you do this, right? We're using tax depreciation and tax credits. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. There's more ways that you can do this than I could sit here and talk about. You wouldn't want to sit here and watch me talk about that long. Nor am I an expert in all of them. But here's four that I'm going to give you that are examples that I've personally used. Okay, so these are ones that I've personally used. It's not an exhaustive list. Now, the reason why I've chosen these four is, again, I've personally used them, but these can also all work even if you're a full-time W-2 employee, okay? So not all depreciation works as a W-2 employee, but these can. So the first one, I'm gonna start with my favorite. Play number one is, of course, if you already watch my channel, you know what I like? I like Bitcoin. Specifically, I want Bitcoin miners, and I want the government to buy my Bitcoin for me. I like that. And then I want my Bitcoin to buy me more Bitcoin every year. So here's how it works, okay? This is the one I use personally. It's the one I'm using the most. So when I do Bitcoin mining, I'm basically investing in technology, right? I'm buying equipment. I'm buying physical computers, ASIC hardware. And that hardware produces Bitcoin. It classifies as equipment by the IRS Section 168, and it qualifies for 100% bonus depreciation in year one. So here's how this works. Let's say that you have $150,000 of taxable income this year. Taxable meaning your income minus your expenses, what your taxable income is. Could be $150,000, could be $1.5 million. What's my taxable income? What if I whittled down off my deductions? And then I have $1 million left that's going to be taxed. Well, I could go acquire the depreciation I need. So I could go get $150,000 of Bitcoin miners. I get $1 million of Bitcoin miners. When I do that, the $1 million of taxable income is offset by the $1 million of depreciation and is written off. Now, you don't have to do 100%. It could be a partial or whatever you can afford. I like to do 100%. Now, the key for me is I want to finance the whole thing. So if I make $1 million of income, I want $1 million of depreciation, but I don't want to spend $1 million to get it. So I'll borrow $1 million against other assets of lines of credit or financing that I have to buy that, and then no money out of my pocket, and I can cancel that out. Then it gets even better because now I own the asset. I own the Bitcoin mining equipment, and the miners are now producing Bitcoin every single day. So not only did I save the money right up front, now I have an asset that's producing Bitcoin every single day. Now, how much Bitcoin does it produce? Well, it depends. The price of Bitcoin goes up and down, and the difficulty rate of the mining network, the hash rate goes up and down as well. As of right now, the time of this reporting, I think I'm mining a Bitcoin for about $50,000 or $55,000-ish, and Bitcoin's at $70,000, so I'm making about $20,000 on every Bitcoin that I mine right now today. It looks like the mining, the difficulty rating is coming down. Some of the hash power is dropping off. Some of it's switching over to AI. I'm expecting the price of Bitcoin to go back up, and maybe I'll be making way more than that. It doesn't matter. The asset is paying me more than any other asset, more than real estate, more than whatever. And then the beautiful part is next year, I take that new Bitcoin that I mined, I can borrow against it to buy more Bitcoin miners to wipe out more taxes. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, a flywheel, if you will. Okay, so that's my favorite one for now. If you don't like Bitcoin, that's fine, but I like it because the government's literally paying me to mine Bitcoin, right? And the asset becomes this perpetual machine. Okay, now the second play is one that I still use today. It's been one of my favorite forever. It's most people's favorite, and it's real estate. Now, the standard way that this is done is pretty boring, right? You're going to buy a rental property, and then the IRS is going to allow you to depreciate that building over 27 and a half years for residential property, right? That's a slow drip. It's fine. It's the way that the billionaires have done it for years because they can buy enough real estate for that 27 and a half year drip to really make a difference. For most of us, we don't have enough, we don't have $1 billion. So what I want to do is I want to use real estate. I want to use the bonus depreciation, take that in year one, but we need to do something called a cost segregation study. Now, just a real quick side note here. If you are a W-2 employee, you may not be able to use real estate depreciation to write off your earned income. So maybe your spouse could qualify as a full-time real estate professional, or there's an exclusion if you do a short-term rental. That's what I like to do. I own short-term rentals. You guys have probably seen some of my properties, my beach properties, my ranch properties. I like trophy properties. I like unique properties that I like to look at. I like to say I own that property. I like to go visit it. I call them experiential assets. I like experiential assets better than some S&P 500 on a spreadsheet. Assets I can go to, I can hold events at, I can have friends over to, and they go up faster because they're more scarce. They're scarce assets, and they make more revenue because I rent them out when I'm not there, and they make a lot of money because they're desirable assets. And again, they qualify if you're a W-2 employee. So I can buy this trophy asset. I can do a cost segregation study. You have to hire a specialist to do this, but they basically reclassify the building components, carpet, appliances, fixtures, landscaping, things like that. And then they bring them into a shorter schedule or a shorter time frame. And then I can take all that depreciation in year one. Now, the key thing to understand in this is the numbers. What you're depreciating is the property, not the land. So you want to buy properties where the value is in the property, not the land. So for example, a $300,000 property in San Antonio, Texas is typically going to be about 85% of the building allocation. And so with that, I could probably take about $70,000 in year one deductions. And let's say my tax rate was say 35%, I'd get about 25, 30 grand back. My down payment was 30 grand. So basically what I saved in taxes made the down payment. Let me say this another way. The amount of money I would have given to the government, instead of giving to the government, I can now put it down on a property. yes, at the end of the day, my net difference is the same out of pocket, except for one, the money went to the government. Now I have a $300,000 property that's a rental property that's going up, compounding whatever 5% a year, plus it's making me rental income at the same time. So the tax refund paid for the payment. They paid for me to invest. Plus, like I said, the property produces rent every month, and it's going up in value. I can borrow against it later. Now, again, the detail for this one is that only the building is depreciated, right? So you want to make sure that you're doing, you know, the part of the tax strategy is to buy it where the property value is the most. So San Antonio, Texas, like 85% building allocation. Maybe California, San Francisco might have a 50% building allocation. So making sure you buy it in the right place, the right market is a key piece for this hack. Okay, now play number three is one that I've done extensively over the years. It's one I'm not currently doing right now. It's not my favorite right now, but with what's going on over in Iran and the oil crisis, it might be a good time to get back in. Like I said, I've done this many, many times. And basically what you can do is invest into oil and gas. You can invest into a drilling program. And when you do that, about 75 to 90% of the money that you've invested is classified as intangible drilling costs. So that's like labor, fuel, site prep, things like that. What the IRS allows us to do is it allows us to deduct all of that in year one. It's amazing, right? So not only did I deduct all of that in year one, but then I have the asset, right? So again, we're getting paid to invest. If you notice, follow along, right? I got paid to get Bitcoin miners, and now I have those computers as the asset that produce Bitcoin. I got paid to buy the rental property. Now I own the rental property going up in value and giving me rental income. I got paid to buy an oil field or a gas field, and now I own the asset that makes me money. So let's say that I put in $50,000. I'm going to be able to deduct $42,000 immediately. Now, let's say your rate's like 35%. That's like $15,000 back in your pocket, plus you have the asset. So you're getting royalty distributions whenever the well starts producing, when it starts making money. Now, again, my honest take here, full transparency, is that I've done this a lot. I still have some interest in some oil fields as of today. But again, I've shifted most of my focus over to Bitcoin. That's my favorite. And of course, real estate. Like this house that I'm in right here, because I love trophy real estate. I love the experiential side of it. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and I want to go see my stuff. But oil and gas, I think, like I said, the prices of oil and gas look like they're going higher with inflation. And so when you invest into oil and gas, you're betting on the price of gas. You're betting on the operator and the duration of where that's going. But it's been one of the oldest ways to get tax depreciation for a long time. It's been around for decades. The Trump administration is so pro-energy. I don't see it going away anytime soon. So for the right person with enough income that you need to worry about it, this works, right? And yes, you can finance these. There are programs where you can finance this. Okay, play number four, the last one I'm gonna give you for right now, is solar, all right? Now, fun fact you may not know about me, I spent the last several years in the solar industry in a previous life. I was doing lead generation marketing online, and my partner and I were the largest residential solar lead generators in the nation at one point. And then I actually started a sales company. I worked with some of the biggest solar companies out there. Anyway, side note. But today you can invest into solar. Of course, the government wants you to do that, part of the clean initiative. And if you invest in the solar, you get two types of payments. You get both tax depreciation and you get tax credits. You can get a 30% tax credit. Now, the thing about a tax credit is a tax credit is not a deduction. It's literally like a one-for-one coupon. So if you owe a dollar of taxes, you can apply one of your tax credits directly against it. So it's even better than a tax deduction or a tax depreciation. So for example, if you have a $100,000 system, you can get $30,000 straight off of your taxes, okay? Then you can also depreciate the remaining 70% of the system. It's amazing, right? And you want a solar system that's an asset that's producing revenue. So think about it, right? In a combined one-year benefit, you get $60,000 back on $100,000 invested. That's 60 cents on the dollar in year one. And that's before the system even generates a single penny. So a lot of times these will go into commercial buildings. These could go into like standalone off-grid sites, things like that. And people will be paying for this. So it's a long-term asset you might own for say 20 years that's gonna continue to pay you. But the key piece here is that the government is so desperate to fund solar, right? They're returning literally 60% of your investment in year one, right? And that's not a loophole. That's part of what they're trying to accomplish. So that's why I like solar. It's a pretty good opportunity right now. Now, again, personal transparency on this one. This is one that I'm actively researching for my own portfolio. I've been doing a lot of research. I have a couple companies that I'm talking to about. Personally, I have not deployed into this from a depreciation standpoint yet. Yes, in this house, we're off grid. I have solar. My main residence, I have solar. I sold it. I believe in it, but I haven't been using it for depreciation just yet. Okay. If you do own a commercial property, then maybe you want to put this on your radar immediately. Okay, now I do want to say something else just real quick. I'm not going to go deep into this. If you want me to make another video, I can. But what happens when I take the money that I was going to give to the government and instead I invest it, right? So I get that tax refund, that tax rebate, I reinvest it. I don't spend it, I don't go on another vacation. So I get $52,000 back from Bitcoin miners and I buy more assets. And then those more assets create more income. And that more income maybe creates a little bit of a bigger tax bill next year, but that bigger tax bill gives me more depreciation available. That cycle repeats. The refund gets bigger every year. The asset base gets bigger every year, and you never sell anything. The assets start to create this flywheel, and they start to grow faster and faster and faster with the kerosene, with the supercharger of getting that tax rebate and putting it right back in there. Now, personally, this is how I've built most of my wealth. I've watched my balance sheet grow for years on this cycle. Same income, just rinsing, repeating, but same income, dramatically different outcome. And yes, I try to get my income to go higher, but you can do this without having to make more income because you're running the money through a different system. The loop that we want to run this through, it's a compounding system, right? It's a system I built my entire financial life around. Now, if you want to go deeper into the full system, what we do, what the 4, 5, 6, 7 steps are, I'll put a link down below. But for today, just understand these 4 plays, they're not isolated tricks. They connect into something much, much bigger here. Now, everything I showed you, the miners, the real estate, the oil, the gas, the solar, none of it's hidden, right? All of this is published. Like I said, 90% of the code is there, the tax code. It's been there for decades. The only difference is the identity. You see, consumers see a bill. Owners and investors, they see a roadmap. So the code doesn't change. It's the person reading the code, they change. They read it through a different lens. So look, here's the action. Take one of these plays and you'll be ahead of 95% of the people already, right? Just sit down for a second and write down, what is your taxable income this year? How much do I expect to send to the government this year? Then ask yourself, if I took that amount of money and I was able to invest it into like a layered wealth strategy that could compound at say 20%, what would that be worth in 20 years? What would it be worth in 30 years? Now, if you want to see how all 4 of these connect into one system, again, I'll put a link down below and you can go check that out. But look, the government is trying to pay people to invest in 2026. They want to pay you to invest. But most people just never read the instructions. Don't let that be you. Read the instructions. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel if you want to know more strategies on how you can do this. I'm going to keep showing what the code actually says. Again, not what your accountant tells you. They're a historian. They tell you what happened, but more about how you can build wealth. Subscribe right now. And to your success, I'm out.